Team 33.
Abysmal. The worst thing I can say about it was that, yeah, there were loud, loud boos at halftime, but they were almost being clapped off at full time because the fans nearly felt sorry for them.
Team 33. Live every Friday night on OTB Sports Radio. Download the podcast now in the OTB Sports app.
So earlier this week, Waterford's Kevin Moran called time on his inter-county hurling career after 15 years, a three-time All-Ireland finalist and a two-time All-Star in both 2012 and in 2017. Kevin is with us now. Nice to talk to you, Kevin.
How are you?
15 years, you had a good old run at it?
Yeah. Too long now, to be honest. But some great days, some great years. Look, enjoyed it all, I suppose. And I think it just the time is right to call a halt to it.
When did you make the final decision?
I suppose I only made the real, you know, it was kind of in the back of my head. I was kind of 90% sure that I was at the end of the summer, that I was, you know, that was going to be the end of my inter-county career. But I just went back and tried to focus on the club a small bit and went away on a holiday. So just at the end of last weekend, I kind of made up my mind and, I suppose put a bit of closure to it, and you know, I suppose it's a little bit of a weight off your shoulders because the decision is made now, and you know, I'm quite happy with it.
Yeah, what have the last couple of days been like? I'm sure there's been any amount of text messages, looking on social media, there's all sorts of tributes been paid to you.
Yeah, look, it's nice, I suppose. Yeah, I'm not really on social media now, but I've got some lovely text.
They're saying nice things, and that rarely happens on social media.
Very rarely, yeah. I got some lovely messages, some odd ones and some surprising ones, but they're all...
Tell us about the odd ones and the surprising ones.
Oh, odd as in, I don't know who they were as in that sense, but they sent some lovely acknowledgements, I suppose, and yeah, it was all positive. It was nice to read. I didn't expect the amount of messages and wishes I got off people, and in the school as well. It was nice to, you know, from the staff and the principal and the students as well. So it's been a good week.
Be honest now, because you work in one of the great hurling schools in De La Salle down in Waterford. Are Waterford hurlers who work in the school given special treatment?
No, I wouldn't say that, you know.
What would the other teachers say?
Absolutely not. No way. And the kids at the start, I guess the novelty wears out after about a day or two. So, they forget all about it. And look, the principals over the years that have been my bosses and that have been really, really good to me. The staff in Dennis Hall have been excellent. And I think it's time that I put a little bit more back into the school and the club as well. And I couldn't speak highly enough about the support you get from friends, family, and obviously work is a hugely important thing as well. So, it's time to give a little bit back, I guess.
I think so many people around the country feel an attachment with the Waterford side of the last 15, 20 years because of the near misses, but because there were so many great personalities and there was such a mainstay of big matches, Munster finals, semi-finals, All-Ireland finals. Like, you're going into that squad, I think it was 06, and it's a squad with the likes of Milan, Shanahan, Tony Brown, Ken McGrown, Kelly, Paul Flynn. That's a lot of big personalities in a squad for a young lad to be going into.
Yeah, like you said, yeah, I suppose I was coming into, at 18 years of age, into a golden age generation of Waterford hurling, and you know, into a dressing room that was full of guys that I just looked up to and admired so much, and you know, some of the greatest hurlers that I played for Waterford. And I guess it was quite easy for me, to be honest, that I had the likes of John and Brian from my own club. I used to travel with them the whole time, and you know, they were the characters of the dressing room, and you know, it helped me seamlessly kind of fit in with the group and things like that. So yeah, I made some good friends at the start, guys that were older than me and things like that. And it was very at the start the novelty of it was great, but you know, once you got down to it, it was just about they trained hard, they wanted to, you know, do better than the previous year and things like that. And I suppose my ambition was just to try and prove myself to them more so than anything, and just try and reach that level that they were at. But
how do you know when you've proved yourself?
I suppose when you're, you know, playing in big games, you know, playing decent in big games in full stadiums, I think is when you've kind of said to yourself, you know, this is what it's all about. And you know, that did take me a couple of years to reach that level. it's you know, it's a massive step up to you know, inter-county hurling, and certainly then the top three or four teams in the county or in the country is an even bigger step up again. So there's no doubt it did take me, you know, up to maybe 2000. I played matches obviously in 6 and 7, but maybe 2008 I started to break into the team after a couple of years, and that's kind of when I really felt that you know, it's kind of I was going in the right direction, you know. So you know, that was rewarding. I suppose that's what any player wants, is just to be part of the big days and to be, you know, to be playing in front of the big attendances and the atmosphere and experience and all that. And, you know, I'm no different than anyone else. I love that up to the end.
We're talking about your start in the inter-county game coming in around 2006 and that development over the first couple of years and trying to find your feet. And they're a sort of crazy couple of years for Waterford hurling. In 07, it's this wondrous summer to start with, where, you know, Dan Shanahan is in the form of his life, scores that 3-3 in the Munster final against Limerick, goes on to be named Hurler of the Year, working under Justin McCarthy. Like, coming into that squad and being given your debut by such a legendary figure as Justin McCarthy, what sort of early influence was he on your career?
Yeah, like you said there, it was, you know, 2007, one of my first championship starts was that Munster final. So, you know, that was unbelievable just to experience that at such a young age and get a Munster medal at a young age. And unfortunately, I didn't get too many more after. Mm. But it's, yeah, Justin was really good to me, I suppose. He called me in before when we were away on a training camp, and just kind of, you know, was very honest and kind of gave me an awful lot of confidence, saying, you know, this is, you know, look at the likes of Tony and the likes of Brick and these guys, you know, that's where you should be aiming to strive to be in a couple of years' time. And you're on the right track, and, you know, kind of emulate the likes of those guys, and, you know, you won't be too far off it. And I suppose when he said that to me, that was it gave me a great deal of confidence after a few months of being in the panel. So, those words in that meeting always kind of resonated with me. You know, I stuck to it and worked hard on it over the years. Maybe never reached the level of those guys, but you know, the confidence it gave me just spurred me on constantly. You know, so it was nice. And it was nice for Justin to do that, because, you know, he didn't have to. You know, it was kind of, I was I suppose a player, just a kind of panel player at the start. Really, I wasn't, you know, his top kind of 15 guys, but. He, over time, I kind of fell into his plans a little bit more.
08 then must have been a really difficult time for you as a young player, because, you know, you're still quite new to Justin McCarthy, whereas an awful lot of the players, it felt as though it had come to its end of its natural cycle. And we'd Dan Shanahan and Ken McGrath on the show this time last year talking about that summer, and there was a lot of regret in their voice as to how it all fell apart, and the photograph of Dan sort of throwing the hand away. I think he said it was that dreaded picture that, you know, he has a huge regret of how that turned out. For you as a, what are you, 21 maybe at that stage, been in the middle of that huge, what is a massive national story and controversy. What are your memories of it?
Yeah, I remember vividly, yeah. It was, you know, I suppose it was difficult, and you could see how difficult it was for the guys, you know, who played under Justin since, what, 2001 or 2002. So, look, I was only, you know, a small cog in that wheel at the time. And, you know, you're kind of not really going with the flow, but, you know, the guys are, you know, that 10 years older than you. You know, they've multiple All-Stars, and they're, you know, they're striving just to go to the next level. And I think that was, you know, the main reason, I suppose. It was just maybe to get the final push, I suppose. And, you know, it didn't work out, I suppose, you know, the most amicably way, in the media and that, but it, you know, these things happen, and, you know, it's something that I don't look back on with a huge amount of, you know, positivity about. It was something that wasn't a nice time. And as a young player, it was, you know, you just got on with it. And I suppose Davey came in then, and it was, you know, a clean slate for everybody. So, you know, you forget about it quick enough, as cutthroat as that sounds, but it's the way it is, you know. And I'm sure the guys have, you know, a lot of, I wouldn't even say regret, but just the way it finished and things like that, I'm sure it disappointed a lot, and surely Justin himself.
It's funny now with Davey, he's just so omnipresent in our lives. He's almost everywhere you look, you see Davey. Whereas in 08, he's just retired. As a player, he's coming in fresh as a manager. There's a there's a real sense of the unknown, whereas now everyone feels they know exactly what Davy Fitzgerald brings to an inter-county setup and the intensity that he brings and that initial boost that he always brings. There must have been a certain degree of trepidation that you're going from such an experienced manager in Justin McCarthy to somebody just starting out in Davy Fitzgerald.
Yeah, definitely. Look, for me, it was I wouldn't say a blessing in disguise, but Davy was highly influential with Fitzgibbon Cup hurling. And we just won the Fitzgibbon Cup in 2008. And, you know, from that sense, I think he saw a bit in me. And, you know, he really, you know, he loved the Fitzgibbon and he respected, you know, the players that went through and won Fitzgibbons. And, you know, he kind of related that a lot back to me, even in front of players and things like that at times. So, I think it was he was very good to me.
So what when you say in front of players, would he at a training session, would he have singled you out for praise?
Yeah, even kind of just trying to build, I suppose, the camaraderie, and, you know, relating it to colleges, teams and things like that, and just talking about, you know, the work that goes involved and things like that. And, you know, I can't really remember exactly, but I remember a couple of times he just said it maybe personally once or twice then, maybe in the team meeting and stuff. And, you know, it was nice to hear. And again, gave me a lot of confidence. And, you know, he was very good to me as well, Davy was. And, you know, it kind of brought my game, I suppose, from the next level to where it needed to be by the time he, you know, really got his teeth into the job in 2011 and 12. So, it was... I suppose it must have been extremely strange for him, you know, being such a young man coming in and dealing with that. But, you know, he took it in the stride and went on to be a really successful manager, as we all see, and a really successful person. So, look, he didn't bat an eyelid to it. And he brought a huge amount of professionalism and a difference to the trainings. And, you know, that summer of 2008, there was a great buzz around. And David brought that single-handedly, in fairness.
Yeah, he certainly brings a buzz, and listen, he brought a lot of success as well. There was a Munster title in there in 2010, there was consistent appearances in All-Ireland semi-finals, and there was, of course, the All-Ireland final of 2008. When you think back to meeting that Kilkenny side up until this year, a team that we assumed were always going to be the greatest hurling side we'd ever seen, and meeting them at full force, how long and how do you get over the shell shock of a game like that?
Yeah, look, again, I suppose I was lucky in one sense that I was so young playing it. You know, that was an extremely difficult time for, and I can only imagine how hard it was on some of the older guys, you know, at the time. as I said, like to someone earlier in the week, it wouldn't really affect me that much, kind of my thinking on it. Right? You know, I'm the type of person that goes kind of day to day, and you know, I don't leave the bad things get me down too much, nor the good things, you know, when I celebrate them too much. So, you know, I knew that I was going to stick at it and that I had plenty more years ahead. But there and then, you know, at the time, it was just, you knew from after 20 minutes, this game is over, and it's just trying to keep your own bit of pride in place. And look, I think everyone recognised the superiority of that Kilkenny team. And sometimes, you know, when you're just in a match like that, you just try your best and realise that you're playing second fiddle here to some really top players. And, you know, we got over it. We played them a year later, actually, in 2009. We put on a really, you know, if you look back in the game, we played extremely well that day. We lost by 4 points and missed an awful lot of chances. And the team was probably starting to go into transition then, you know, in fairness. And, you know, that Kilkenny team went on and won again in 2009. You know, to Tipperary went in 2010, and I suppose they started to fade away then a bit themselves, that extremely good team. But it was tough at the time, yeah.
As you say, you seem a very, very level-headed person, and of the three All-Irelands, there were, you know, the couple of heavy defeats against Kilkenny and then against Limerick in 2020. 2017 maybe was the one that got away. It was the year you were captain as well against Galway. And interesting listening to Derek McGrath talk about your influence after that defeat. And I'm just wondering about the comparison between 08 and 2017 in the reaction in the dressing room. And he said how you just made this brilliant speech with great perspective of what it meant and what you'd actually achieved and the journey you'd been on to even get to an All-Ireland final. And for those younger players, the players who were maybe in a position you were in back in 2008, able to give them a good sense of actually, yes, We haven't won today, but we have still achieved something.
Yeah, look, I suppose it's like everyone wants to, you know, win All Ireland. There's no doubt about it. You know, I'm not saying that I absolutely would have absolutely loved to, but you know, there's more things going on in life than winning All Ireland medals. And you know, we put in a huge amount of work in those kind of week, 3 or 4 years with Derek, around kind of 15 to 17, and you know, they were the best times of my life, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know, they were so good. And you know, even though we weren't winning All Ireland and things like that, we were just a great place, a great environment. We had kind of built our own identity from the team of the previous generation. So it was nice. Obviously, yeah, you look back at the 2017 final, and you know, there's a couple of things in that game that say, geez, if that had gone left or right or this or that, who knows, we probably would have went on to win it. But again, look, yeah, I said this quite a bit. You just can't focus on it and beat yourself up too much. If you go out and you try your absolute best, you empty yourself, you do everything you can, you try and be the team player. And, you know, just sometimes it doesn't happen, you know. And, you know, we tried to move on and try and get it right in 18, and just didn't work out, to be honest. And it just shows how hard for the likes of the Waterfords to go and go to the top level. And unfortunately, it's been, you know, they're still waiting to do so.
Those years being the most enjoyable, I'm sure a huge part of it was down to Derek McGrath and his style of management and that sort of emotional intelligence that he seems to have, the connection he can make with players and give them that identity and bring that real spirit. Can you talk about Derek's influence? I know he's a clubmate of yours in De La Salle. You worked together as well. You would have spent a lot of time around him, and just how talented he is as a leader as much as a manager.
Ah, yeah, look, he won't like me, you know, speaking too much about him, but he's, I won a fail in the Gael with Derek when I was 12 years of age, down in Wexford, you know, so I know him that long. He trained us at that age, so, you know, he was only a young man, still hurling himself at that time, so, you know, you could tell where his ambition was. And, you know, had some great days winning county finals, and he managed us in 2012 and won him county championship, and was quite unlucky not to win a Munster club. And then he took the Waterford job, and you know, I kind of knew what we were getting when he was coming in, and just, you know, listen to him, and he'd be a great person that we wouldn't actually speak a huge amount about to each other about things like that, but we both know what each other's thinking, and you know, bounce off each other in a good way. But some great times, yeah. And it was you know, I think any of the lads would say the same. It was a good journey at those years, you know, trying to, you know, coming out of it, again, as I said, a kind of transition period, and just building our own identity and getting back to big matches and, you know, getting a buzz around the place about the county team. And, you know, I really enjoyed that spell of time.
Yeah, we're all waiting to see what that next big inter-county gig is for Derek at senior level. And listen, if you can have that level of understanding, is that a path you want to go down? Is there a coaching future?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's something I would like to do. I'd like to put in about a year or two into playing with the club and giving a little bit more back and putting in a full season with them before I start going down that route. I think it'd be very hard to mix them, as in play and coach a team and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think first and foremost, I'll, you know, do a bit in the school, doing the Dean or the White Cup team with Philip Manny in the school this year. So I'm looking forward to that with the young lads, the under 15s after Christmas. So they've had a tough couple of years. They've got to do nothing, and really going to put in a big effort with that. But you know, we'll go back with the club and you know, see how that goes. But yeah, it's definitely something I will be interested in. Right. Down the line, and we'll see how it goes.
And who knows, maybe a bit of punditry. And to start you off in your punditry career, because you're better positioned than anybody, you had the misfortune, I guess, of facing Kilkenny at their absolute peak, and maybe facing Limerick pretty much at their absolute peak as well. If you're going for one or the other, which team do you not want to be going up against? The current Limerick team or that great Kilkenny team?
Oh God, yeah. I think that Kilkenny team were absolutely, you know, they were so, so good. At the time, they were streets ahead of their generation, you know. And if you look back at the players that they, you know, and maybe it's that a lot of them are, that they're all retired now, and you can look back and say how good they were. And, you might say the same with a lot of the Limerick players. But I think that Limerick or that Kilkenny team had, you know, maybe six or seven of the greatest hurlers to have ever played the game. So, you know, that speaks volumes for me. But you're right, the Limerick, you know, the path, the trajectory they're on at the moment, who's to say, you know, in a few years' time, it might be the same thing about them. But yeah, they're really, you know, well-oiled machine, I suppose. And they're extremely, extremely good. And it's going to take a hell of a team to beat them. But for me, the Kilkenny team are still that little bit ahead for now anyways. But, you know, I wouldn't be counting my chickens on whether that Limerick team can or can't do it. But, yeah, hopefully not. Hopefully, hopefully yeah. Waterford get a good run at them and might pip them. But, yeah, it's very competitive at the moment, I think. I know Limerick are a good bit ahead, but yeah. I think there's some really good inter-county teams out there. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in the next year or two that, you know, like someone might take over again. But who's to say? I don't know.
We'll get that Mayo Waterford double yet, Kevin. Here's hoping.
Yeah, here's hoping.
Thanks a lot for joining us, and very best of luck with the retirement, and very best of luck with the coaching career as well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Cheers.